This is the NCARB podcast, where you get an inside look at licensure, regulation, and the initiatives shaping the future of architectural practice. I'm your host, Andy McIntyre, Vice President of Marketing and Communications at NCARB. And this season, we're diving into Pathways to Practice, NCARB's multi-year effort to rethink how architects become licensed.
Architecture is the hardware to the software of life, right? It is fundamentally about that interaction, and it makes life easier if we have a built environment that works.
Across 8 episodes, we'll explore how licensure got to where it is today and where it needs to go next. We talk with architects, educators, regulators, and NCARB leaders about education, experience, and the exam, and why each of those pillars is evolving.
And that portion of school where you go from conceptual to real is also really challenging. It's not something you're really gently moved into. It's kind of like you're doing something that's flowy and crazy, and all of a sudden, wait, you actually have to make this work.
You'll hear how the NCARB competency standard was developed, how research is shaping future licensure models, and what a more flexible, competency-based approach could mean for candidates from a wide range of backgrounds.
So we've seen that in our data as the number of reciprocal licenses starts to decrease a little bit, but that number of individuals who are licensed holds steady.
We also tackle the big questions. Why does licensure look the way it does today? Where do candidates face the biggest barriers? And how can we expand access without lowering standards?
Not everybody fits into the same mold. And so having different pathways to licensure, I think, is really important.
Whether you're a licensure candidate, an educator, a firm leader, or a regulator, this season offers clarity, context, and transparency into one of the most important conversations facing the profession.
Does this requirement to complete all divisions of the exam place an unfair burden on any one group or other?
This is Pathways to Practice, only on the NCARB podcast. Please follow the link in the show notes, subscribe now, and join us as we explore the future of architectural licensure.
My name is Mark R. LePage, and you are listening to Entree Architect Podcast, where each week I speak with inspiring, passionate people who share their knowledge and expertise, all to help you build a better business as a small firm entrepreneur architect. This week, I'm speaking with Nick Macy, CEO of AIA Contract Documents, the organization behind the most trusted contracts in architecture, engineering, and construction. Nick has spent more than 2 decades leading high-impact software and product organizations, including Inside Real Estate, where he drove innovation for hundreds of thousands of users. Today, he's guiding ACD through a major transformation, modernizing how firms manage risk, collaborate, and deliver projects with clarity. We'll explore the current landscape, the challenges facing small firms, and how ACD is shaping the future of contract intelligence. Nick Macy, welcome to Entree Architect Podcast.
Thanks, Mark. I'm delighted to be here today. Appreciate you spending the time.
Yeah, thank you for spending the time with me. I'm looking forward to this conversation. As we were talking a little bit before we hit the red button, a lot of our community are already using AIA contract documents. And so I would love to have the conversation about what they are today, where they're going in the future. There's been a bunch of big changes in the last couple of years at AIA contract documents. And so maybe we could jump into that a little bit. Before we do that, though, I want to know more about you personally. I would love your origin story. When did you discover your passion for what you do today, and who or what inspired you to get started?
Yeah, that's a great question, Mark. I appreciate it. I think, you know, for me, as you noted, I've spent a lot of my career in the software universe trying to build great products and experiences for humans that use the software that make their jobs and lives easier. And I think early in my career, I had the opportunity to work at a lot of large companies where they have software that frankly is really hard to use. And when, particularly in the universe where you start to get content together with software and complexity. And I think seeing how challenging some of that was in the early days of the internet for people to use, I had the opportunity to work at big companies where that experience wasn't a priority. It wasn't a priority to help people understand or be able to use things in a robust way. And so I had the opportunity, a mentor of mine was a leader at a company I was working with called PayPal, which many folks have probably heard. And I think really inspired me around this idea of, hey, we as a community of people that build software can make an experience great. We don't just have to focus on the features and functionality, but how can we take what are relatively complex things or can be complex things and turn them into simple experiences? And so I would say that if there's a theme that's been oriented around my career from there, it's this idea that how can I help an organization better understand what our customers' needs are and not just respond to those needs, but translate them into a really great experience with the software that they use. And I think for me, that's part of what's been really exciting about joining AIA Contract Documents. You know, as you note, such a great history amongst the documents, the prevalence that they have in the industry, how important they've been in terms of helping assure risk, but also creating trust. And I think where we see the big opportunity for the business is to really try and take that to the next generation, building software experiences that can make it easier to use, bringing the content in new ways. And so that's what gets me excited about being here and a little bit of my background and how I've gotten to this point.
Yeah, perfect. Excellent. Thank you for that background. Before we jump into the documents themselves, as I mentioned, there's been lots of change at AIA Contract Documents in the last couple of years. From what I understand, it's no longer directly owned by the American Institute of Architects. Can you talk a little bit about the structure and how the company is run today and where it might be going in the future on a high level?
Yeah, I mean, it's worth clarifying that the AIA is still a pretty integral part of the business, an owner in the business.
Yeah, for sure.
The EVP CEO of the AIA sits on our board and helps drive governance. We obviously work closely with the Documents Committee of the AIA as well. But it is the case that there are other investors in the business that invest to try and create these better experiences and obviously ultimately growth for us as an independent company. So we should expect that to continue. I think what we also expect to continue is a great and deep relationship with AIA that is proves to be both, I think, beneficial for the AIA's members, but also financially for the organization, which obviously benefits the members as well. So it is true that we are an independent business today, but with those deep relationships that I've described.
Yeah. Well, thank you for that clarity. I think a lot of architects misunderstand the structure of it today. And so I wanted to just clarify that. I'm glad that it is still led in terms of the overall organization by AIA and that there is additional investment and additional experience coming in to make the product better. You know, I'm a 56-year-old architect. I've been using AIA contracts for a long time. And for a long time, they were really, really complicated and difficult to use, especially during the digital transformation. I started when they were paper.
Yeah.
And, you know, through that transition was difficult. Like any transition through digital, you know, from paper to digital, there's going to be stumbling blocks. It's very different today. And that's what I'd like to talk about. From your perspective, what does the overall market look like, right? You have a very deep experience into our community of architects. What does the market look like today for design firms?
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the things that we do have a good understanding and pulse on is that end market because we work with so many different people. You know, we worked with 40,000 different customers last year, and it gives us some unique visibility. But if you look at the market, I'm sure this isn't news to you, Mark, or to your listeners, but it is a challenging market. I mean, the October Architecture Billings Index came in at, you know, 47.6. We've had continued contraction for a lot of months. And I think that when demand softens, you know, firms, especially small firms, feel really a lot of pressure really fast, whether it's around cash flow or new opportunities or uncertainty. And it creates dynamics with customers and within the end market that it can become really challenging for people.
With that market in context, AI contract documents in general are all about risk and protecting us from risk, making sure everybody's on the same page and understands the agreements we have. How does that market that you just described impact the reality of the risk that architects face today?
Yeah, you know, one of the things I love that you said there is about on the same page. And I think if you zoom out and say, hey, what is the point of an agreement? There's a risk component to it, which is very important, obviously, but there's also a clarity and predictability component to it. And I think when times are challenging or there's pressure, a good agreement, whether it's an AIA contract document or something else, can really create a stabilizing force on a project. And if it's comprehensive in nature and covers different scenarios, successfully, it becomes more than just a legal requirement or risk mitigation. It becomes, how do we stay aligned, particularly as you think about the use of documents across a project lifecycle that may start with, you know, an owner-architect agreement, but evolve over time to include the general contractor and then the sequence of change orders and payments, which architects are deeply involved in. And so to me, a good agreement becomes that stabilizing force at the beginning of a project that then runs all the way through the life cycle and helps with the risk mitigation component, which is important when you may have a smaller number of projects or be feeling cost pressure, but also just helps with that ability to stay on the same page. And we obviously think that AIA contract documents are the best way to do that, but a strong agreement is critical to firms at the time when things are under a lot of pressure.
Yeah. I referenced earlier that I remember the days of the paper contracts and the copy machines, which was prevalent at the time. How has the technology of today impacted the use of these contracts? How is it making it easier and more clear for all parties, not just the architects, but everybody involved? How is the new modern technology that we're using impacting this product?
You know, one of the things that I think has been very exciting about the transition from paper to a digital experience is the ability to create trust around the documents themselves that our software workflows enable. So by that, what I mean is that today, when you come and use an AIA contract document, assuming you use an official one and not a photocopy of an old piece of paper, you go through a process by which you have really good visibility into what's changed in that document. You get a red line report and a certification through that software that show you where the deviations are. And to me, that's been a really critical factor, because one of the challenges that we hear from people in the end market, and there's a bunch of examples of projects that have gone awry around this, is when people create documents that they say are based on AIA contract documents, or that are maybe your old photocopies with things scratched out, or even edited Word documents, but that haven't gone through the process in our online workflow. That creates real risk because, you know, some ill-intentioned people may try to hide things or change provisions of the document, and you really lose visibility. And so one of the key enablers, I think, that's happened with the digitization of the documents is that ability to have visibility into what's changed and everybody being on the same page about what's happening on a project and what risk they may be taking on or what those key negotiation points are. And so that is one of the things that I talk to folks about when they use the documents, but maybe are using old versions or copying things, is this idea of that certification or finalization process we have in our platform is pretty important in creating that good baseline and trust in the environment. So I'd say that's where we are today in terms of really a strong software workflow that can help do that. We obviously have things that we're building towards that make it even easier to use, but I think that's probably the biggest single benefit of the digitization that's occurred so far.
Can you talk a little bit about the interface that the product is being used today? Because that was one of the biggest hurdles that we had. To be honest, I haven't used them in a while. I'm more focused on Entree Architect and growing our community than practicing, so I don't have a need for the contracts anymore. But I remember how complicated it was, and I'm sure they're much better today. And I'd love for you to just describe how they work today so people like me who have experience in the way they were can understand how they've improved over time.
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, there was a software platform which is pretty complicated to use. And last year, we launched a new version of that platform that really has more modern kind of user experience associated with it. So it makes it much easier to organize your agreements within projects and have counterparties defined or other project participants defined that can automatically flow into the documents. You can have clarity about what the history of documents used. You can bring in templates of changes that you've made in the past so you can quickly accelerate your ability to get to that agreement. And I think beyond that, we've got an interface that is much more practical in terms of people being able to edit documents online and create that kind of certification that's there and even send it out to signature. So when you think though about the workflow that people use the software for, they have the ability to create these projects. They come and provision a document for their use on a project. They can use an online editor to edit that document, or they can download a draft and edit it in Microsoft Word. And then they bring it back to us and we finalize that document and go through that process that I talked about. And so, you know, we've gotten really good feedback, particularly for customers that are new to AIA contract documents, about how easy that is to use. It's been funny though, too, Mark, because over time there were a number of people that have used the documents for many years, like you described yourself, they got really used to what was a pretty complicated workflow. And so when they came into this new system, it was a bit of like, hey, this is, I see that this could be easier to use, but it's very different from the kind of 25 steps that I had memorized before. And so one of the things that we've been doing over the past, call it 6 months after launching this new platform, is trying to bridge that gap for people a bit more, such that we can create a better experience, not just for people who are new to the documents, but for people who've used them for a long time. So it continues to be an evolution, but something that we've been pretty excited about, the positive feedback. And again, our goal is to really make it much easier for people to understand and use the documents in their day-to-day projects.
Yeah. Architects often do not embrace change, even if it's an improvement.
Yeah. No. And again, we want it to be a seamless transition for people as well. And so I think there's been a real opportunity for us to help better train and help folks understand, you know, why this is such a better experience. And to be fair to the architecture community and people that I've interacted with, they've been really positively responsive to that once we can kind of get them in there and using it.
Yeah. So they're easier to put together and execute. Are they also easier to access throughout the project? Because often what happens is that you start a project, you sign the contracts, and then they get put away and you never see them again, unless there's a problem. Then you pull them out and you look at how you're going to resolve that problem and you resolve the problem. But there's an advantage to reviewing those documents and using them throughout the contract, throughout the project. Are there ways to access them easier and to make them more part of the workflow, not only for the architect, but for the entire team?
Absolutely. I think there's a couple things I'd say. One is this project organization that we've started to create within the platform really provides a mechanism for people to organize the documents for a specific project in a pretty robust way so that it's easier to go back and reference them. We've got search functionality that can help them find those documents much faster. And I think the conventions that we bring in through that project structure around naming and other things just make it much easier to find information than it has been before. I think the second thing I would say is that we've started to build integrations into other platforms that really try to bring those documents to the forefront of the day-to-day execution for people. And there's some that we're working on that'll be super applicable to the architecture community. But as we started to prototype and build those out and show them to customers, people are pretty excited because, to your point, so much of what's in those documents is about setting expectations, and the day-to-day work needs to reference back to that. So we've been had a focus on integrations that can help enable that. And then the third thing, which kind of leads to where we go in the future, is we've started to build a solution around AI that can just help people find information faster about those documents. So show me all the projects I've done with this school district historically, or how do we handle changes on the project in this particular case, and really providing what is that AI chat experience to access those documents. So that's something we're working on today. It's not yet in the product, but we'll bring to customers next year.
Let's take a quick break to say thank you to our sponsors for their support of this episode. Gain lessons learned and credits earned with Arcademy, ARCAT's continuing education program. Listen to popular episodes of the Detailed podcast and earn AIA-approved HSW credits. Yes, you heard that right, HSW credits for episodes of Detailed podcast. Listen to an episode, check out the learning objectives, and use what you've learned while listening to take the course. The program is free, it's simple, and can be found at arcat.com under the resources tab, or just go to arcat.com/arcademy. That's arcat.com/arcademy. That's arcat.com/arcademy. Please visit our sponsors today and thank them. Thank them for supporting you, the Entree Architect community. Yeah, I was going to ask you about AI and the future, because certainly, you know, AI is ever present at this point. It's everywhere. And for documents, it is a major first use of AI. But preparing documents and words is one of those uses for AI that everybody's using. And so I like to hear that AI is becoming part of the process with AI contract documents. What else is happening in the future? What else are you working on to make the product better?
Yeah, coming back to that a little bit on the use of the documents and how AI is being used. You know, we've seen an emergence of people using AI to help draft agreements. I think a lot of people try and skip around that. I think one of the things, though, that people need to keep in mind is that these are risk protection agreements. And so using AI to help build a better document, I think makes a lot of sense and something that we're working on. I'll talk about some of the aspects of that in a second. But making sure that it's within the guardrails of your real protection and you're not just trusting whatever gets generated is really important. So the things that we get excited about in the use of AI is really helping people build documents that are much more bespoke to the project that they have, using language that is part of the case law that's been established around our documents, part of the guides that we've created over time that help provide that insight. And there is an opportunity for us to, in the software, create an experience where, like, as an example, as you go through the owner-architect agreement, you might say, hey, this provision isn't really applicable to my project. What other language exists that is in AI contract documents that may make sense here? We can use AI to help provide visibility into that and say, hey, what's different about your project? Let us propose some things that are not just randomly generated through some AI document generator, but are actually pointing you to references within our documents that can be used and create really that robust risk protection and clarity that's so important. So we think about an interface that helps you create a document that's much more specific to your needs without having to go in and make the changes yourself, but rather using that approved language. That's one element. I think helping you find things within your ecosystem on a day-to-day project is another. We talked about the document chat and the integrations, which are a key piece of that. And then really this idea of kind of providing you insight and benchmarking. We have an ability to help you really understand, how does the risk that you're taking on compare to historic things that you've done with other customers? How does this compare over time and as your project has evolved and changed? And really try and create and flag things for you as the project progresses, not just as an architect in your initial design phase or pre-construction phase, but through the project that you might need to be aware of. And so our ultimate goal is to really provide you kind of an operating system around agreements and project risk that can flag those things for you and create better agreements up front.
This audience is primarily small firms. We have a very large audience, so there's architects at every level, but the entrepreneur architect community are small firms. And a lot of those firms are not using contracts at all. Some of them are creating their own contracts. Some are using old versions of AIA contract documents, and some of them are using the current version of AIA contract documents. What would you say are some of the reasons why our community should be focused on AIA contract documents and how they might impact the way architects, specifically small firm architects, practice?
Yeah, it's a great question. I mean, small firm architects should certainly be using agreements on every project that they execute. And for many of the reasons that we've discussed, which is providing that baseline of clarity, but also about risk protection. I think one of the things that is surprising to small firm architects when we have the opportunity to talk is the idea that we have within the contract documents, there are documents that are applicable for every use case. You know, people can sometimes associate them with more complex projects and say, oh, that's too complicated for me. But we have a whole set of documents that are used for mid-sized projects and even simple projects that are as small as just really three pages that do give you that kind of comprehensive, this is what you need to do a small project and make sure that you have that same risk protection and professional grade contracting that a large firm might be able to have, but in a document that's more appropriate for a smaller project. And so I would really encourage people to come and look at the contract documents, our B series for sure, the owner architect agreements, and they will see, I believe, that there is a document that's applicable to them that can help this get much easier to accelerate the process of negotiation, that gives them that protection. And also by using the software, have that certification process that creates trust and really accelerates things. So to me, it's all about the access and to have that same standard setting or, you know, really ability to get common alignment around all the important provisions of a document, but in a way that makes sense for whatever type of project a small firm architect might be pursuing.
Can you talk a little bit about pricing structure? You don't have to talk about specific prices, but how does access to AIA contract documents work today?
There's two methods that you can access AIA contract documents today. One is if you have a specific document need, you can come and purchase that specific document and use it one time through that certification process within the platform. That's an option for people. We also offer a subscription that is a seat-based model. So based on the number of people that need access to the software and the documents, they pay a different amount for those seats. That gives you an unlimited access to all of the documents across all of the projects you might be running. I really encourage people to use that subscription model. And the reason for that is that part of making sure that you have a successful strategy of setting a good baseline and expectations for executing your project and having risk mitigation through that project is making sure that you use the documents that are most applicable to your particular project, not just that initial agreement, but through the life cycle of the project. And one of the things that people can often miss is they say, oh, I came and got the B101 agreement, the standard form of agreement between an owner and an architect. And so I'm good. I don't have to do anything else through my project. But the truth is that in order for you to have a successful project that is both about expectation setting with the owner, but also about protecting your own risk, you really should be using the other forms and agreements that are within that ecosystem such that you have this network of documents that provides you that more comprehensive risk protection. And so that's why we encourage people to use that subscription, which gives you the unlimited access.
Is there any sort of trial or demo that users might be able to try just so they can see the new system and how it works without having to buy into a full subscription?
Absolutely. I'd encourage people to come to our website, aiacontracts.com. We've got a whole learning site where you can go and learn just about the documents themselves, tied to particular use cases, build types, what might be relevant for you, and then certainly demos of the software. We also have someone you can talk to. So if you want to see a demo of the software or have the opportunity to ask questions, you've got an ability to just click the box in the bottom right-hand corner and hop on with someone who can walk you through and get your questions answered.
Yeah. As we wrap up, that was going to be one of my final questions was support, right? There are humans over there at AIA Contract Documents. You just talked about talking to somebody to walk you through a demo, but what about somebody who's in your ecosystem and just needs some help? How does your support work?
Absolutely. You can call us. You can chat with us if you'd like, and you can email us. And we've got a great team of support representatives that can, you know, get back to you and answer questions both about the documents themselves and about the use of the software and really help support you. And I would say that's been one of the bigger areas of investment for us as a business is just one, building software for sure and improving that, but making sure that we've got all the people that folks need to find success in using the software and that we can do it through all the channels that people want to work with us. Call us if there's something urgent, you can chat with us if you want to get something real time in the software or email us if it's maybe not as urgent.
Before we go to our final question, is there anything else that our community needs to know about the new modern versions of AIA contract documents?
I think for us, it's really this idea that AIA contract documents are the best solution that are across firms of any size. And I'd really encourage people to come and see the offerings that we have that are applicable to both small firms, mid-sized firms, and large firms, and think hard about the agreements that they're using today, and are they comprehensive enough and cover the right things in order to, one, set expectations clearly at the beginning of a project, two, be able to use them throughout the duration of the project, and then three, provide them the risk protection that they need as they go forward.
Yeah, you should go check it out. There's a new home for AIA contract documents, and Nick mentioned it earlier, aiacontracts.com. So that's the website you should go to, aiacontracts.com, to learn more. Go try that demo. Final question. What's one thing a small firm architect can do today to build a better business for tomorrow?
I think it all comes back to agreements. I'm big on expectation setting. I think it makes relationships very successful. It creates a lot of trust. And so I'd really encourage people to just take a minute and think about how do I engage with my customers from an agreements perspective, both at the beginning of a project and through the life cycle? And is it providing me the right stability, or do I have a bunch of missed expectations and issues popping up? And go make sure that you have something in place that it's so much easier at the start of a project to set really clear expectations about how you're going to work together and create that trust up front. And it'll make your life much easier in the future, freeing time up to go and do the things that help you grow your business or deliver for your customers. So I'd encourage people to do that.
His name is Nick Macy. He is the CEO of AIA Contract Documents. And as I mentioned, you can go learn more at aiacontracts.com. Thank you, Nick, for doing the work that you're doing. Thank you for reworking the way that AIA Contract Documents are working so the profession can thrive. And thanks for coming by here and sharing your knowledge at Entree Architect Podcast.
Well, it's been a delight, Mark, and credit to our great team at AIA Contract Documents that's really worked hard to deliver these great experiences and documents for our customers. So, but delighted to be here and appreciate the opportunity to come talk about what's next for us.
Well, thank your entire team for us. Appreciate it.
Will do. Thanks, Mark.
If you enjoyed this episode of Entree Architect Podcast, please share a link with a friend, because that's how we've continued to grow and serve thousands more small firm architects just like you. Thank you to our sponsors for this episode. Links to the sponsors and all the resources we discussed today, they are all available in the show notes for this episode at entrearchitect.com/podcast. Entree Architect is a proud member of the Gable Media Network. It's the multimedia network moving the architecture, engineering, and construction industries forward through the power of storytelling. You can earn AIA continuing education credits by listening to select episodes of this podcast and many others at gablemedia.com/members. And if you are a small firm architect, listen up. Join us today at Entree Architect Network. It's the worldwide community for entrepreneur architects. We've been around since 2012, and our basic level is now free to join. Yes, you can join Entree Architect Network for free. And that gives you access to valuable business resources and our global community of architects. And you can upgrade anytime for live coaching, AIA approved training, and mastermind support. So visit entrearchitect.com to learn more and to get started. My name is Mark R. LePage. Thank you for listening to the Entree Architect Podcast. Love, learn, share. Attention architects and creative minds, get ready to supercharge your brand with Build Your Brand, the podcast that's unlocking the secrets of branding success for creatives. Hey there, it's Mark R. LePage, founder of Entree Architect, and I'm inviting you to join my friend, architect marketing expert, Jeff Eccles at Build Your Brand podcast, where he explores the captivating stories of the world's top brands and transforms their lessons into powerful moves for small firm architects and creatives like you. In season one, Jeff shares the thrilling tale of Southwest Airlines, where he dissects their journey to the summit and distills it into strategies tailor-made for you.
It's important to keep in mind that companies like Southwest compete in the real world, just like you, and face real-world challenges, just like you. You might be surprised at how similar those challenges are to the struggles that you grapple with on a day-to-day basis.
Don't miss out on your blueprint for success. Subscribe, tune in, and let's build your brand together.
You may have noticed that the very best brands in the world are also known for having somewhat unique corporate cultures. That's often the glue that holds everything together when they encounter those rough spots.
We don't do it because it inconveniences the passengers to whom we are primarily dedicated, the short-haul frequent flyer.
Follow the link in the show notes to subscribe to Build Your Brand today. Remember, no matter the size, the journey's the same. Your brand's journey to the top starts here.
Imagine earning continuing education credits while doing exactly what you're doing right now. Well, you can. Gable Media has revolutionized the way you earn your continuing education credits with a groundbreaking approach. Forget running around town and scouring the internet for credit-worthy courses. Fulfill your CE requirements effortlessly by listening to engaging podcasts just like the one you're listening to now. Our podcasts are designed to educate, entertain, and inspire, all in a user-friendly environment. But wait, there's more. Architects, Gable Media is also approved as an AIA Continuing Education Services provider. Upon completion, we handle everything, from reporting your hours directly to the AIA to storing your certificates in your personal Gable Media profile for your self-reporting needs. So follow the link in the show notes and start earning your credits in the most innovative and entertaining way possible with Gable Media.